Welcome, everybody, to the IBN NBA podcast. I'm your host, IBS Yeezus. With me is my co-host, the one and only Corey Carlton. Corey, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Cool. Today's episode is brought to you by these Black Forest gummy worms. These things are fire. I'm completely off of the other snacks I was eating on my last podcast. If you're listening, go to the store, get you some Black Forest gummy worms, put them things in the refrigerator for about 10-15 minutes. Best thing ever. I'm telling you right now. It's pure fat boy snack, but I know, you know, Corey, you're into being fit and you're on the Tom Brady plan, TB12 or whatever.
Nah, I got them good jeans, dog. I eat what I want.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, get you some of them gummy worms, man.
I'm a Swedish fish guy myself, watermelon Haribos. That's my go-to.
Okay. Hey, so let's go ahead and get it started. We got a pretty loaded list today. So we can start with the most recent thing, which would be Courtside Karen, I think is what she was called. Anybody not familiar with this? LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers visited the Atlanta Hawks. And apparently there was people courtside and some things got said. It started, according to LeBron, it was between two grown men and somebody else interjected. And things went a little left. The interjection came from the man's wife. And according to her, she said she told LeBron she beat his ass. Based off the pictures that I saw, if anybody got their ass beat, it's her because she ain't got one. So, what's your take on that? Is this a bad look for LeBron, or is this just, you know, typical NBA drama?
Yeah, definitely typical NBA drama. I'm not sure why people even. I mean, I guess it's because it's LeBron. That's why people picked it up. But things like this, now every woman that has gotten their boobs done is going to be out here trying to gain clout and Instagram fame off of saying something to LeBron. So, like, I just hate when, like, they give those people the attention, you know? It's like, come on, yeah, what are we doing? But, I mean, it was funny for what it was, but nothing really happened. Like, I feel like that kind of verbiage happens at every NBA game, I guess, because it was a blonde-haired white woman who, like, put it on social media. It's different, but, like, feel like that back and forth with like the husband and Bron happens like at every NBA game.
Yeah, she said he cursed the husband out. Like I said off the record, I don't think LeBron has it in him to full out curse somebody out. I just feel like he's too passive aggressive for that. But he definitely
said, I just want to let you know I've been real close to courts with Bron playing, and Bron will let you have it. Like Bron talks how he talks, right? But yeah. Like, he not doing it just because he's doing it. Like, somebody cussing him, you're a grown man. You're going to cuss back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Somebody's like, yo, F you suck. Like, he might say something bad.
And, you know? I think what he said, or what they said that he said was steroid-ass dude or steroid-ass. Yeah. I can't say what he actually said. I don't think we're allowed to say that yet. But steroid-ass N-word, what I believe he said. So, and that was verified by The Athletic, but as far as anything after that, they were not able to verify that information. But a good part to this story is that the people who were involved in this will not be banned by the Atlanta Hawks. LeBron even came out and said, you know, he didn't think it was that serious, but the refs had to do what they had to do. So, you know, before people jump on that, man, LeBron's being a bitch and this and that. Hold on, man, because he wasn't trying to get them kicked out. And he didn't ask for them to be removed. It was just banter going back and forth between fans and a superstar. And the NBA just decided to take the initiative and kick him out. So she'll still get to go to the games, and so will her husband and the people they were with. And LeBron will keep being LeBron. So the other story is something that's bothering me. And that is with our guy, Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, I don't know if
anybody... Whoa, hold on, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know you're not about to slander Klay Thompson.
No. Oh,
okay,
no,
okay.
No.
I'm just being sure.
this is actually, for once, it's not about... I'm actually taking up for TLS in this one.
Okay.
But during the Detroit Pistons game with the Warriors, Klay Thompson was mic'd up and helping with commentary. At the end of the game, Rodney Magruder, a fringe bench player for the Detroit Pistons, decided to confront one of the Warriors players on the bench about something that was said during the game towards Wayne Ellington. The commentators asked, you know, Klay, you know, what was going on because they were close enough to the bench. And Klay, in a very nonchalant Klay Thompson kind of demeanor, I don't think people are familiar with him, but I mean, he answered like Klay would answer. He was like, I don't know. He's like, just some dude. He's probably going to be out the league, you know, just mad about something. It's probably what he's mad about because he ain't going to be in the league much longer or something like that. And he's like basically saying that Rodney Magruder was trying to act tough. And they asked Draymond Green about the incident after the game, and Draymond was a little bit more blunt about it, but kind of reiterated the same thing that Klay said, like, this dude's a nobody. He just mad just to be mad. And Draymond was saying there's too many tough guys in the NBA, which we can get to that later. But I'm a little disappointed in the reaction of the people who are close to the NBA about this. Like, I get Wayne Ellington sticking up for his guy, and I get Wayne Ellington basically kind of taking the high road and calling Klay and Draymond fake tough guys. But like the rest of these people, like Kendrick Perkins and everybody, is like, Rodney Magruder is a, you know, he's a scrapper. Listen, the guy plays 5 minutes in like four games out of the season. He's averaging like 2 points. I mean, he's a fringe D League, G League, whatever you want to call it now, player. I don't think it was that insulting to say that he's probably not going to be in the league much longer. And I don't have any issues with what Klay said. In fact, I thought it was absolutely hilarious. So I don't understand the criticism of Klay Thompson coming from other athletes and so forth. Like, I've seen people say, you know, well, he's talking about another man's money, another man's pockets. That's not what he's saying. You can make money in 100 million other ways than being in the NBA. I mean, people do that all the time. So saying that somebody ain't going to be in the NBA long is not that insulting to me.
He just said in a educated way of calling him trash. Like, what's the difference? Yeah. And saying somebody trash. Like, he basically just said he was trash. What's the problem? Like, you walked over to talk to one of his young guns. Like, you decided to do that. You walked over to talk to one of his young guys and, like, started talking trash. And he returned by sticking up for his guy like you were sticking up for your guy. What's the difference? Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, this is just people hating on the Warriors to hate on the Warriors. Like, this exact same thing happens in Miami, and Jimmy Butler says it. Everyone's like, oh, we love Jimmy. This is why we love Jimmy Butler. But because Klay's light-skinning on the Warriors, like, now he's pretentious, or he's, like, it's trash, man. I don't rock with it.
Yeah, and Perkins even went as far as to call out Draymond as being a fake tough guy and bringing up the incident where Tristan Thompson pulled up on him and he copped a plea, according to Kendrick Perkins. Obviously, nobody threw punches or anything like that.
That ain't what I heard.
Well, actually, I think Tristan Thompson threw.
Yeah, that ain't what I heard.
Tristan Thompson threw something. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, They're athletes, man. For the most part, we kind of have an idea of who's really about that life and who's not. And the majority of people are not about that life. And they've got a lot of incentives not to be about that life. But a guy like Magruder, who really ain't got much to lose, he might be about that life. But, I mean, we'll never know. I don't understand what was said that needed to be addressed at the end of the game. And I take issue with the fact that he pulled up on a rookie. Like, would you pull up on Steph or Draymond or a healthy Klay or anybody that's got a couple years in the league that was talking trash to Wayne Ellington? Or are you just doing that just because you don't know this guy, you think you can get away with it? That's kind of my issue with it. But I have no issues with what Klay said. I don't understand why people are acting so ridiculous about it. And like I said, I think it's funny. You and I both know, like, Klay is funny as hell, man. I don't think a lot of people realize how funny he is because he's not always in the mic or in front of the mic all the time. Draymond does the talking for the most part for the team, but his demeanor is all, like, everything about him is just, it's just Clay. Like, when he responded to Big Baby, like, I could hear that in his voice. Like, hold on, big fella, when I get healthy, I'm gonna drop 40 on you. Like, I could see him saying that just nonchalantly, like, he's not thinking anything of it. Like, all right, man. And then, you know, to be angry at Clay, or even for somebody to approach this man in a way where they want to, like, be confrontational with them, it just wouldn't go well for you, because he's just not going to give you that energy. Like, he's just going to shrug you off and walk away. That's literally who Clay Thompson is. So I just think it's just a big fuss because he's not playing right now. If he was on the court and he was, like, post-game interview and he said that, I don't think anybody would have any issues. And I better not hear Shaq, Chuck, or any of these old heads say anything to him about that, because we know for a fact that people say way worse.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't have an issue with none of it. Like, I don't know why it's a big deal. Like, I get, you know, like, we're in an era. People don't people just don't say stuff. So people don't talk. So when anyone says anything about another player, it gets magnified. And it was wild to hear, like, in the moment. But what do you think someone's going to say that's a player that's doing commentary without context that sees his rookie getting picked on? What do you think's about to get said? Like, of course that's about to get said. But I don't see no issue with none of it. I think everybody made a big deal out of nothing, if you ask me. And yeah, the Big Baby Davis stuff was funny, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Clay bored, too.
You said what?
Clay also bored.
Oh, for sure. For sure, man. You can hear it in his voice, man. And the few interviews he has done and talked about how he hates being injured. And he has, for the majority of his career, been very healthy and consistent with his playing time. And these last two seasons obviously have not went the way that he would like it to go. So I can imagine he's not only bored, but restless and full of just jokes like that for everybody. Getting into actual NBA news. I waited a day for this just because I wanted to have some hope that what I was seeing wasn't true. But the Dallas Mavericks suck. That's just the only way to put it. What are they, 7 in a row that they've lost now?
Mm-hmm.
7 in a row. They are 13th in the West, I believe, is what I saw. They're ranked 13th in the West right now. You know how sometimes we make fun of, like, the East and say, oh, the weak East. Well, if you put that 8-13 record in the weak East, they still be 13th. So it ain't looking good for Dallas, man. And it's early. They could turn it around. I know the year that they won, what, the 45 games or so, there was some tinkering done in the beginning, and they finally hit their stride. But this ain't it, man. It's not looking good all around. And I know we're going to probably talk more about Luka than anything, because he is their star player. But I'm more worried about Rick Carlisle at this point. Like, something's got to change, right?
I'm not ready to blame Rick, man. Like, in my opinion, the situation is if you have a star player that's supposed to be an MVP candidate, and he ultimately, like, is not playing that way and affecting the game in that way, then you're not. I can't put it on a coach until they have talent, in my opinion, that's underachieving. And I've never gotten it with the Mavericks. I never understood why people thought they were a top 6 or 7 seed. Like, who are they more talented than? Like, I don't think they're more talented than the Blazers. I don't think they're more talented than Warriors. I don't think they're more talented than the Suns, the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Jazz, the Clippers. So, or the Pelicans. So when you start there, like, that's already 8. So I just don't get it. And then when you have Luka, who Luka's playing well, Luka's an all-star, like, player, but he's not playing like a top 10 player or MVP candidate or anything of that nature. When you're shooting 7 threes a game and you're making 29% and you're turning the ball over 4 times a game, that's a recipe for disaster when you also don't play defense. He has the ball in his hands a lot. He's a good player, can get to the rack where he wants to. He's good at finding his teammates, but there's some holes in his game, man. And until that gets figured out, with that team's just simply not talented enough to be good without him being great.
I watched a couple of Mavericks games this year, and I will say that I'm willing to entertain the idea that some of this is due in part to lack of reps by the entire core of the team, like the rotations. They have had some injuries, some COVID stuff, but right now, like as of the last three or four games, they haven't really been missing anybody. I think it was the one forward, can't remember his name, but he doesn't really play a lot of minutes. He's a rotation guy, but Porzingis sat out a game for, you know, the injury recovery stuff. That's nothing. But I would say there's been enough reps by the team by and large to not lose consecutive games to a Jazz team without Donovan Mitchell back to back, and to the Suns without Devin Booker. And then you look at what Chris Paul did in two games again. Chris Paul looked like the rookie Chris, like prime Chris Paul. He had, what, 63 points in two games? Like, that stat line was insane. Insane. And it's bothering me because I'm like, dude, people are playing better against you. It's not like you're getting beat by good teams. You're getting beat by teams without their best player, and everybody else is still playing better. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, man. Doesn't make any kind of sense. And they've lost seven in a row. They're heading into a game against the Hawks. And I'm not sure they've got the leadership to turn this around at any point, man. It's not looking good, man. They got the Warriors two games after that. Then they get the Timberwolves. They might get a little reprieve there. And then they get the Hawks again. Then they get the Pelicans, Blazers. Like, these are teams that honestly probably can still give them fits. It's going to be a rough out for them for the rest of the month. The rest of the month.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I just don't see it, man. I don't see it. I mean, when you look at that roster, you're looking at somebody that has to play. They play a lot of – I see a lot of Jalen Brunson and Trey Burke. Like, those are kind of their, what, third and fourth options?
Yeah.
Like, these are fringe rotation guys. Like, these guys wouldn't play on the Nuggets. These guys wouldn't play on the Grizzlies. These guys wouldn't play on a lot of teams. And these are the people that they're going to for their things. So I gotta put the pause button there on just how talented this team is. And then again, and when you have your stars not playing, like Porzingis isn't playing at a level like a number two on a good team. And Luka's playing like a one, but he's not playing like an elite one. So I don't know, man. I just don't think they're good enough. Like, I'm not surprised by it. That's what I'll say. I'm not surprised by any of this. I'm not surprised by Luka shooting like shit. We have 3 years of data to show that he's not a good shooter. He just gets a pass because he's white. I'm not surprised by Luka being ball dominant and turning the ball over. Like, none of that's surprising to me. I'm not surprised by Porzingis being hurt and ineffective and up and down. Like, why is this a shock to anybody? It's my question.
So Greg Anthony and Grant Hill talked about this last night too, and I've said this about Harden in the past as well, and Westbrook at times in his career, that less is more. Like, I think sometimes with these guys who dominate the ball so much, people were like, as a team, a lot of times people get used to watching them, and we used to see this with the Thunder all the time when it was Westbrook and Westbrook and Durant. Like, people would stand around and watch them all the time, to the point where when they actually got the ball, they didn't know what to do with it. They were just like ineffective. And I think a lot of the issues going on with Porzingis right now, coming into the season from that injury, is got to do with repetitions and just finding his place yet again in this offense where he doesn't have the ball a lot. In New York, he had the ball a lot. And last year, when they finally got some time together, it did take some time for them to gel, but they were clicking. and then he had to go out because of the injury. And it's like he kind of has to reset and start all over again from square one, because Luka's basically doing everything that he can by himself. And I don't know if the trust is there between them two either. And there's a lot of watching, a lot of terrible shots being taken, a lot of terrible shots early in the shot clock being taken. And then they talked about that last night, too. And I think Grant Hill pointed it out, but he was saying that, you know, Luke is such a great talent that you look at his stat line and it masks some of the inefficiencies in his game, mainly with his shot selection. Because, as you said, he's not a good shooter, but he jacks up shots. Like, he shoots shots as if you would think he was a good shooter. Like, the way the 3-point shots that he takes are shots that we would see people who shoot at a 43 to 45% clip take. This guy ain't even 30% on the year, and he's still shooting these deep 3-pointers and stuff. And it's like, you know, a lot of it, like I said, was early in the shot clock, or if he does pass to somebody and they get the ball back to him, they don't get the ball back. Like, Luka's going to hold it. He's going to try to drive and get a foul or something. It's just a lot going on, and I think they really need a hard reset. It'd be great if they could get a bye week, you know, and maybe come together as a team and just kind of talk about it, because right now I just feel like they're just trying to run through a wall and they're not using common sense. So we'll see how it goes, man. Like I said, if they lose tomorrow in Atlanta, and then they got to come back on a back-to-back and play the Warriors, who are going to be rested, it might be ugly. So you think Rick makes it through the year?
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, we're just talking about a team that's 20th in offensive efficiency. Like, that's not going to work. Like, they'll never be a good defensive team. So if you're 20th in offensive efficiency and you're not going to be a good defensive team, like, I don't see it. I just think I don't think Carlisle goes until he wants to go. Mark Cuban's not going to force Rick out.
So switching over to our favorite rookie. I think he's your favorite rookie. I know he's mine. LaMelo Ball got his first start yesterday. Did you catch any of the game?
Yeah. I mean, I caught it, of course, especially I caught the game before where he went off and had his best game of the season. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely caught the game. You know, he was good. Like, I mean, he's just so inconsistent with his shooting right now. Like, you're always going to get everything else. You're always going to get him being an excellent rebounding guard. You're always going to get him making incredible plays for his team, like making aggressive plays, making the hustle plays. You're always going to get all of that. It's just, what do you get with the shooting? And that'll equal the type of game he has.
Yeah, and I got to say, I'm a little upset because my stream wouldn't work yesterday, so I had to follow it on the ticker. Crack streams need to get their stuff together. Actually had a bad stream. So I was trying to watch the game yesterday, but I couldn't. But I did catch the game where he went off. And, I mean, it has been the story of his season so far, and his coach even called him out on it. They just need to get more consistency from him in all aspects of the game, for real. But mainly his attention to defense when he has a bad game as far as his offense goes. I think that was part of the coach's issue with him over the last couple games. And the turnovers, I think, it's just going to be part of his game, kind of. And, I mean, a lot of what I see in the turnovers, too, is that people just ain't looking for the ball, man. Like, they just don't anticipate him being able to make the passes or being willing to make the passes that he makes. And guys just not ready for the ball. PJ Washington just needs to pick his freaking head up when he runs. It's weird to me. Never seen an adult run with their head down. And that's part of the problem. Like, there's a lot of passes that go off his, like, players' backs and things like that, or off their, like, fingertips because they're just getting their head up at the last second. But you know what really stood out to me yesterday was Malik Monk's stat line. Devontae Graham and Terry Rozier, they're not the solution. At some point, one of them is going to have to take a back seat.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae is meant to come off the bench, but you can't, like, Malik Monk does this, like, I mean, did this at Kentucky. He just really streaky. He gets really hot. Like, I think he could be a good sixth or seventh man eventually, but that's not somebody you can rely on. The Hornets are trying to make the playoffs this year. And LaMelo is just too inconsistent. Like, I'm one of the bigger LaMelo fans there is. I've been hyping dude since he was in seventh grade. But he's just too inconsistent. Like, these are the type of people you want off your bench because you can't rely on them. And when LaMelo's hot, he closes games. He brings a different energy. Like, this is all stuff that's, like, good off the bench. So, and I like them running with Miles Bridges as well, who's another guy, energy, streaky. Like, that's a good bench mob. Like, that's what you want out of your bench. And when one of them's hot, they play. Like, when Malik was hot last game, he played at the end. When Miles Bridges is hot, he plays at the end. So I really like what the job the Hornets coach is doing as well. I think we have to give him a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I think Rozier has to be their answer, unfortunately, even though he's a fringe NBA starter, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think they were hoping Devontae Graham turned into a Fred VanVleet situation, where it's like, all right, we didn't know what we have. He's really good last year. He'll take another step, and he just becomes elite. But I think they're sadly mistaken if they thought that. So I agree with you. I just, you know, this is a team that's ahead of schedule. So I don't think people need to, just because LaMelo's a star, people don't need to put all these eyes on it and wonder why they're not tweaking. They're ahead of schedule. Let them be ahead of schedule. Let them develop. They were literally, people thought they were in the worst possible position in the entire NBA just a year ago. And all they did was sign Gordon Hayward and draft LaMelo. And now people think they have a bright future. So they're way ahead of schedule. Just give them some time.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I almost jumped on the Devontae Graham train. but I hesitated because I was like, he's kind of small. And he doesn't play that. He never played that physical to me coming out of college. Because he's in Kansas, right? He's in the backcourt. Yeah. I was like, I don't recall him being that physical. And, I mean, he had a couple... He had a nice streak last year of games where he played really well. But yeah, it was one of those things where I was just like, let me hold on for a second. But yeah, Hornets are ahead of schedule. They're 10-11 right now. I mean, I like them as a team to look out for, a young team. And the thing with the NBA with me is we already know the established teams. I like to try to find somebody that's up and coming that who could have next. Speaking of who might have next and a team that's playing really well and is young, they're not playing well tonight. But ever since Ja came back, the Grizzlies are winning basketball games again. So it brings me to ask again, because I think I'm tasked to ask this. If you had to redraft, would you take Zion over Ja still? Or if you were the Pelicans.
I think I still do. And the only reason I still do is Ja gets hurt as much, if not more, than Zion. And Zion's, like, biggest thing is supposed to be his injury risk. Mm-hmm. I've never seen someone cripple a superstar more than Stan Van Gundy has. They're finally playing a little faster, and they're, like, starting to win games because they're playing faster. But, like, wow, man, Zion is must-see TV, and we don't even hear about this dude getting hyped no more because they've just turned them into a 90s basketball team running slow and stuff, and they have Brandon Ingram, Zion, and Lonzo as their cornerstones who are all better in transition. So, like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm still a big Zion fan. It's not like the dude is trash. Like, he's averaging 24-8, you know, like, on 58% shooting in his second year of the NBA, like, are we supposed to be like, that's a failure?
Yeah, no.
I will also say, did you notice this? I feel like he looks like he's 30. Like, the explosion from that we saw in the highlights just isn't there. Is it just me? Yeah, this year.
Yeah. I mean, thinking of the highlighted, like, the highlight plays and things like that. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the ball doesn't move a lot. You know, like, they're kind of obligated to play slower than what they're used to. And I think that takes away from his his creativity and the best asset that he has, which is catching people off guard with his explosion. I mean, if you got to wait for the ball to get over half court and you got to get it in a position where the defense is already set up, we've seen in his young career, even dating back to the 1 year he had at Duke, if teams could force him to have to, you know, make a play where everybody's kind of ready for him, he struggles a little. And he's still efficient, but like you said, it could be so much better. It could be so much better because, again, if you just look at the face value of the stats, he's not playing bad at all. Hell, even his bad games are pretty good, but they're not winning. And I think, honestly, the last time we had this podcast, I was like, free Zion. After watching a couple more games, I got to say it probably affects Brandon Ingram a whole lot more than Zion, especially with him trying to get a rhythm with his jump shot and stuff. I don't know what Stan's got going on. I know people were applauding him early in the season because they were playing defense, but hell, the Knicks are playing defense, but they're winning a couple of games, you know? These guys, man, like, they're just not getting it done. And they're talking about dumping Lonzo and JJ. I don't even know if I would dump Lonzo. I feel like if they gave Lonzo more freedom and a more up-tempo offense, he could be very good for that team.
Yeah, I agree. But, like, how do you – you can't pay Lonzo either, though.
Yeah, so that's true.
What do you do? No, I mean, I just – I don't know, man. I don't understand. Like, teams like that confuse me. That's a bad-run organization. Granted, they have a lot of picks, so they can go make a splash move because they got a lot of picks. And I think they just want Zion to get to his peak and then put somebody around him. I think that's what they're ultimately looking to do. But how do you hire Stan Van Gundy, who's a win-now coach who's going to run your people into the ground and make them play slow, and then get rid of probably your best half-court player in Jrue Holiday? If you're trying to win, like, it don't add up, right? Like, why not hire a young coach? Like, why not hire a young coach that's looking to run, be innovative, create offensive strategy? Like, why go to where you are now? And I don't understand it. Like, the two don't add up to me at all. Like, if they had the Hornets coach, Borrego, like, mm-hmm. I think they would be look a lot different. So yeah. I don't understand the moves. They're contradictory. Ultimately, I would expect more from Zion, but I want him to get more touches. I don't know why he doesn't get more rebounds. I don't get why Steven Adams is next to him. Like, I get you want a bruiser and an enforcer, but he needs space. Zion needs space to run, and Steven Adams doesn't create space. Like, the team's just really poorly constructed. They have no shooters. Lonzo's not a shooter. Ingram's good. He's not a shooter. Josh Hart, I think, starts. Eric Bledsoe's not a shooter. Sorry, Eric Bledsoe starts over Josh Hart. So you surround them with Adams, non-shooter, Ingram, non-shooter, well, a decent shooter, but like primarily a one-on-one driver, Eric Bledsoe slasher, Lonzo, historical non-shooter. That's the starting lineup. It's a miracle he's averaging 24 points a game.
Yeah, he's at 23-7 right now. Two assists a game, still a game, almost a block a game. And, I mean, well, we never expected him to be a great three-point shooter, but, I mean, he's these numbers, man, they just go up and down, and it's just wild to me. Again, I don't understand, like, watching them play. I think what was 3 weeks ago, I said they were basically the baby Spurs. Like, they were boring just like those Spurs teams, and they shouldn't be, because Zion's not Tim Duncan, and Ingram's not Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, or any of those guys. Like, this team is not built like that, but it's how they look. They're snooze, man. If you could hire a young coach, is there anybody that comes to mind right now off the top of your head?
I mean, that's kind of who I was looking for. Borrego or somebody like that. Like, there's so many good young coaches that are assistants that just would do that, right? Like, I don't think it takes a lot with that team. Now, granted, I think the expectations, like, I think they're a fringe playoff team from a talent standpoint. I don't think they're uber talented, so I don't think the expectations should be crazy, but I just think it's more probably on David Griffin at the end of the day. But in the meantime, before that happens, why are you not maximizing Zion? That should be priority number one. Like, how do you mess up a generational talent? Priority number one should be maximize Zion. Like, you already did this with AD
one. Yeah, I was going to say, how do you do that with Zion after you just did that with AD? Like, we literally just went through this. And I can see him just being the same as AD. First chance he gets, he's out. He's out. Yeah, man.
Like maximize Zion. Make sure that boy making all NBA teams. That should be priority number one. Make sure he's making all NBA teams. Maximize that man. Use the picks and whatever else trash you have on your team to go get a superstar to put beside him and make a run once he hits his, like, 24. That should be the formula. It is not hard to do. We've seen it happen over and over and over again.
So, since the game is over, I was stalling because it wasn't looking good for me. But since the game's over, I can bring it up. How about them Blazers, baby? Your boy's trash. No, I'm just playing. Look, Russell Westbrook, I slandered him so hard before that Nets game, and he had the game of his season so far. This is like a dual subject here. What the hell is going on with the Nets defense, or lack thereof? Is it all to be blamed on James Harden? Because this morning in the group, people were just like, they kept bringing up Harden stuff, and I'm like, dude, Harden didn't play yesterday, and the defense was atrocious. Like, Westbrook got 40 on Kyrie and them. He didn't get 40 on Harden and them. Like, Harden wasn't in the game. Obviously, they played a little bit better today because they beat the Clippers. But as far as the Wizards go, what's going on with Russell Westbrook? He had an okay game today.
He played real well today. Don't do that.
He had an okay game today.
He played real well today. That's what y'all want him to do. You don't want him to take.
He shot 50% too, so yeah, it was better. But they're not winning, which I don't think anybody expected them to win a lot anyway. But what are we gonna get from Russell? Is he said he was finally healthy? I didn't notice he was hurt, but he gonna get better?
He was out with that hamstring injury, like that's what it was out, and he came back. I mean, honestly, it looks the same exact thing. I've called him wash repeatedly, but it looked the same exact thing that happens with the bubble. He just didn't look right. He didn't look explosive, and that's what I saw for the beginning of the season. So if I got to put two and two together, and you're the same exact way I saw you before the offseason, I'm not going to attribute to injury. I'm going to think that's just who you are and what you look like now. So he said he's finally healthy. He's playing on one leg, and I mean, the three games since he's been quote unquote healthy, looks like he wasn't lying. So, I mean, if they get this rust, I think they can go 500 the rest of the season. I don't know if that's good enough to sneak into that play-in spot, but I think it's enough. Like,
it might be. It really depends on what the Hornets do. I don't think the Cavs are going to sustain their seventh spot.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff in that East that I don't really see. Like we're talking about what? The Cavs, the Hornets, the Knicks, like anything under the Hawks.
And then with the Nets, like the way they lost that game obviously was awful to watch, no matter what the scenario is. I mean, they were up like 4. Bill hit a 3. Then Harden stole the ball. Or maybe it was 5. But Harden stole the ball on the inbound and hit the 3 to pretty much ice the game. It just seems like, I hate to say it, but the games that I've seen them play without James Harden, the team lacks focus. I never thought that I would be saying that maybe Harden is the leader or the person that they have that people look at to be the leader, but he seems to be the one when the games get tight down the line. Like today, when the game got tight, he seemed to kind of be directing people and getting people where they're supposed to be offensively. I don't know who it is on defense, but offensively, he seemed to have more control, more of the point guard role than I think people wanted to give him credit for when he first came onto the team. So, Is that what you expect from this team going forward? The ball kind of facilitate through James Harden?
No, I wouldn't say through. I would say Harden's a common influence, right? He's the only one that can get other people a look at the pick and roll. Because when KD and Kyrie doing it, they're looking for shot first. Yeah. So, like, if you want it to not just be my turn, your turn, ball in his hand, stagnant ISO ball, then you have to get Harden involved. And those guys will still get touches off Harden, too. But nobody else is likely to get a touch if you give it to KD or Kyrie when you want a bucket. So that's where I'm at with it. I think they're going to be horrible defensively. Like, granted, they were really trash defensively against the Wizards, but I can see how you would be trash defensively against the Wizards. They just keep shooting threes and keep coming. And if you're up 15, like, I'm not doing all that with them. You just think you're going to beat them. And with Russ playing as hard as he is, it still took a miracle. Like, I get that. They still weren't very good defensively today. Mm-hmm. But when you have those guys playing well, man, it just sometimes it's not going to matter. Like, I don't think you can be that bad defensively and really get it done in the playoffs. But one thing that I will say about Harden not playing is what people don't realize is how much Harden just destroys that second unit when they play him. So basically, your second unit has to play against Harden's Rockets. That's how you got to think of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to play against a 50-win team with the second unit, basically, because that team would probably win 45, 50 games with just Harden. So when Kawhi and PG sit and you're rolling out the ghost of Lou Williams and Marcus Morris and Kennard, and they got to play against Harden, that 7-point lead goes to 1 by the time Kawhi or PG get back in. And that's where it really kills you. It's not the all three of them on the floor together. It's you can't find a rest for your players. So I'll be interested to see how that works in the playoffs when everyone's best players are playing 38 minutes.
Yeah, I thought the rotation today was interesting. they went with the small lineup with Uncle Jeff, I think, at the 5. I wish they've got the versatility to pull all that off. And DeAndre came off the bench. But down the stretch, there seemed to be, I don't want to say plays, but there seemed to be confidence in the fact that everybody was going to get their chance to shine. Kyrie got hot and stayed hot for a while in that game, and they definitely all took a backseat and let him do what he was doing when he was hot. And then Harden got involved, and then KD obviously got involved as well. And it seems like KD's operate more around the mid-range, which, again, he's the shooter of shooters in the league right now, so it doesn't really matter where he shoots from. He's always going to get the better look. But Jeff Green played 32 minutes today, and DeAndre played 16. I want to say that's a tad bit different from the last couple games. But yeah. Steve Nash is
small, so they could switch. But yeah. For context, Harden played 43 minutes in a regular season game.
He had the day off the night before.
I don't care what you 43 damn minutes. That's wild, man. He's just not coming off the floor, and that kind of shows you, like, people underestimate the importance of Harden. What I will say is that Kyrie was hot.
Yeah, he was. He was in everything.
No way in hell Kevin Durant can only shoot 13 shots yeah. if he makes 11 of them.
Yeah, that's so – his efficiency drives me crazy. It's and so good. And he's being
guarded by Kawhi and PG. It's not like he's guarded by scrubs. Like, you cannot have the best score in the NBA shooting 85%, and he don't get more than 13 looks. Like, that's how you lose playoff games. And they all were hot. They were all cooking. I'm not slandering Kyrie. He balled. At 15 for 23 is very good. But if
6 for 8 from 3, too. Sheesh.
KD's shooting 85%. I need that man to get the rock more.
That's true, man. And look, it was funny too because down the stretch after Kyrie went off, he got the ball and like Kawhi instantly ran to him and they was like, nope. Gave it up to Harden. Harden had PG on him. They was like, nope. And then it's KD on Nicholas Batum and it's like, man, come on now. Come on, man. Like, so obviously KD lit Batum up. So then they start running like a little a little zone where they were forcing the ball to Harden, but I like what they did offensively because they made it so people like Morris had to come out to guard Harden, who was doing his little dribble step back three thing. So it still wasn't working. So definitely gave the Clippers a lot of fits with the big three that they have. And as they continue to play, you know, we do game by game reactions to teams like this all the time when there's three superstars. I mean, we did it with LeBron when he was in Miami. And to my knowledge, they were doing it when the Celtics got together, too. So every time they lose a game or lose a couple games in a row, everybody's like, oh, this ain't going to work. I told you. You still just have to give it time. And I don't ever have expectations of a team getting three players together and winning it all in their first season. So they're sitting third right now. They're still resting people from time to time. And Nash is still tinkering with the rotation. When he does get it figured out as to what he thinks is in their best interest, then I'll start being a little bit more critical. But right now, I mean, they're doing what they can with what they have. And as far as Harden, Durant, and Kyrie go, yeah, like you said, if Kevin Durant's shooting 85%, we got to get more. We got to get more than 13 shots. So, I don't know how Jeff Green in the starting role is going to work either, but I feel like Jeff's better off the bench.
I mean, he works with that team, though, right? Because he just does all the little things. I think it's the same role he had last year in Houston. Like, it just works. It just works because he's just really versatile. You don't need a lot from him. He can hit open threes. Like, it just works. When you have him next to KD, like, that's enough length that it can just work. But obviously, that's on a team-by-team basis. Like, it can work against Serge Ibaka.
Yeah. So speaking of Houston, we're rolling into our who's hot and who's not segment. For the West, even though the Grizzlies up until today had won seven in a row, I was going to go with the Rockets as my hottest team right now. I like the way they're playing ball. They got Christian Wood back. Everybody seems to be playing their roles and playing with some energy all throughout the entire rotations. I like to see Boogie be a little bit more consistent, but I mean, you know, he's coming back from his injury and everything. He's still trying to get back into the groove, but it still bothers me that Harden had to give up on this team to because the Rockets kind of squandered everything. I really think he would have enjoyed playing with somebody like Christian Wood.
Yeah, but like the rest of the team doesn't mesh. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you can't put Harden around no shooters.
Yeah.
You know, like, it works with Oladipo and Wall because, like, that's, like, you just run, and those dudes are fast as hell. And then you put some shooters around them with Christian Wood, who's a run-and-jump guy, and they're just playing really hard. Like, this isn't sustainable. These are a bunch of dudes who everyone's given up on them that all have, except for Wood, really blue-chip high pedigree. So they're really talented with something to prove, with a coach with something to prove. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder because a superstar didn't want them. This is a typical, like, play hard team that gets through the regular season and makes some, like, a little bit of noise to get them maybe to the seventh or eighth seed and then gets swept or wins five or goes five games with somebody. So I think Harden obviously made the right decision, in my opinion. He wanted to be in a championship contender, and there is nothing on the roster.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that I wouldn't have jumped to go to the Nets too. I just wanted to see him work with Christian Wood and Boogie and see if he could have did, especially if Boogie was his old self. But again, he's not. So I guess it's just me just being the optimist. Who's your hottest team out West?
Out West? I will go with, I'd probably say the Jazz. I've been impressed by them. I know they lost to Denver most recently, but that 10 in a row streak with Donovan Mitchell missing three games.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's something that we've got to look at. The Jazz obviously aren't serious. I don't think they can do anything in the playoffs, but I like their roster. And there's something to be said about a team that just gets it done and just wins. They play good defense. They've got a good point differential. They're not just beating teams, they're crushing teams. So I really like the Jazz, man. I like what I've seen from them. I think if they get a top three seed, this is a team that could potentially, maybe win two playoff series. Maybe.
Hey, since we're on the Jazz and we didn't cover this early on, we can kind of go back, just quick opinion on it. When Shaq said what he said to Donovan Mitchell, did you have a problem with that?
Yeah. I did. Like, why? It's just hacky. It's just tacky and hacky. Like, that dude didn't come on that show for that. Like, he's doing y'all a favor. He doesn't have to do a post-game interview. Like, Shaq, you don't have any qualification to talk about Donovan Mitchell's game. If D-Wade said it, talk to me. But, like, I don't think you can take the next step. That's not motivating nobody. That's just disrespectful. Like, for what? Like, these dudes, like, claim people are sensitive. Shaq was the most sensitive dude ever when he was. Nobody that was playing liked when people talked about their game in that nature, especially in a disrespectful way. So, like, yeah, I had a problem with it. Like, these dudes are just kind of, like, old grumpy kid. Like, it's one thing if it's funny, but it's another thing if it's, like, legitimate criticism. It's another thing just to be, like, rude and disrespectful. Like, it's not, like, a big deal, but, like, it's definitely trash. It's just tacky. And Shaq's not really good on TV. Like,
yeah.
Him and Barkley have their things, but outside of that, he's just not good.
Yeah, I had an issue with it, too. I thought it was disrespectful, man. And I mean, Donovan Mitchell's one of those guys that you can tell he works hard at his game. He takes it serious. He's trying to be the best player that he could possibly be. And, like, in that particular spot, especially coming out after that game, like, come on, why would you kill his high like that? Just didn't make any sense, man. And then he tried to, like play it off like he was being, like, the tough big brother. I'm like, nah, bro. That was real disrespectful. And if somebody had said, like, knowing how sensitive Shaq is, if somebody had said that shit to him at any point in his career, he'd have been hot. He would have been hot.
And, so, like, if you really feel that way, you want to do that, like, why do it on TV?
Yeah.
Like, if you really feel that way and you want to motivate somebody, why you do it on TV?
Yeah. Send him a text. You got his number. Rolling to the East. Honestly, the last couple weeks, the East has been pretty competitive. I don't know if there's many teams I would say are hot. Everybody's kind of, like, up and down, up and down.
I can go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Y'all need to put some respect on the Philadelphia 76ers.
Nah, I was about to say 76ers.
Y'all got to stop that, man. Y'all got to stop doing that.
I can't, bro.
And y'all owe Doc some credit, too. This is what Doc
does. Hold on. Don't you say y'all. Because I never disrespected Doc Rivers. I am not one of those people that's been calling him the Mike Tomlin of the NBA. I do believe that was you and your brother. I have not said anything disrespectful.
Look, I don't think nothing wrong with Tomlin either.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying. I have not disrespected Doc Rivers. I have disrespected Tobias Harris and company. Actually, everybody but Joel Embiid on that team. So I will apologize to the supporting cast of the Embiids. Trust the process is going okay this year.
All I'm saying is defense matters. They have two all-NBA caliber defenders. I still don't know what they do in the clutch for buckets. Apparently, they go to Tobias Harris. That's not something I'm interested in seeing too much of. But I really like the addition of Seth Curry. And Shake has been better. And Ben Simmons is coming on doing his thing, too. So, I like the Sixers, man. I like what they're doing. I like their stabilizing force. They get a one seed in that East. I just like them. And I will say, I actually think that if there was a team in the East that could potentially give Brooklyn some hiccups and some trouble, I think it would be them. Because what the hell do they do with Joel Embiid?
Well, one, they can't stop Embiid. And two, I honestly think that they got the rotational depth to match the scoring when they have to rest their stars. I will say, Shake is my guy, man. He plays at one speed and I love it. Like, he's just so fast, and I like how they've used him, and I like how Doc has trusted him to take on more of a role in their second unit and been able to utilize him when guys go down. Seth Curry has been playing really well. I bet you $100 that the Mavericks miss him, but he's been doing well out there. I too cannot get behind this Tobias Harris thing, man. I'm sorry. I have followed Tobias Harris way before he got to the Pistons. I'm talking back when he was with the Magic, and no. That Bleacher Report article that was like basically saying that Tobias Harris gave the 76ers a championship edge. What? I would expect that to come from our group, not from like people who actually get paid to watch these games and stuff. No, man. If the game's on the line and the ball goes to Tobias Harris as an actual play that's drawn up, then I will be all that you said as far as people talking shit about Doc Rivers. Yes, I will be the first person to be like, yo, this dude's a quack. Get him out of here.
Who are you supposed to go to?
Man, I draw a play up for Seth Curry before I draw a play up for Tobias.
That's true. Yeah, did you know? Yo, Seth is shooting like 10 shots a game, and he is shooting. He's in the 50-50, 100 club. Shooting 50 from the field, 50 from three, and a perfect from the free throw, man. That dude, he obviously ain't Steph, but as far as shooting goes, like, he just does something different for your team, man.
And the shot selection matters, man. That is my message to the Mavericks fans who listen to this, the few that do, and the ones that will probably message me later and be like, why you always trash? Shot selection matters. I'm sorry. Seth Curry is being smart about his shot selection. But yeah, Doc's a good coach, man. You know, this is his MO. He'll come to a program He'll come to a team, and he'll coach them up and get them to the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens.
I need to see who their assistant coaches are, because that's going to be important for the playoffs, because Doc can't draw up no plays.
And you said I slandered this man.
No, I'm saying, man, that's real. The only championship he got was with Tibbs, like, as an assistant. Like, I got to see, man. I just got to see. That's all. That's not slander. I just want to see.
It's not talked about enough. He only won one ship with that big three.
Trash.
I'm not going to do that, though. I'm not going to do it. It's Black History Month. We will not do this on an NBA podcast. We will not. I guess I'm still on my free Zion kick. I don't know. I don't know if I have any rants, man. I think I used them all last night watching Luka play. I just want Mark Cuban to come out and apologize for what he said.
Black History Month. He got to apologize.
Yeah, hinting to the fact that European players are just better prospects and basically better, more rounded ball players than what we have in America.
I got questions, man. Somebody got to answer for this. What's up with the Bucks, yo?
What's up with the Bucks?
Yeah, why are they getting blown out by the Hornets? Why are they 12-8?
Let's see. What's up with the Bucks? Giannis still can't shoot. And Middleton is their next best option. And they actually depend on Brooke Lopez to shoot threes. I think that basically covers. Oh, and they've got a guy in their rotation. Oh, no, actually in their starting rotation, who is basically the white version of two guard.
We not going to slander DiVincenzo. Is that what we're trying to do?
Yes,
we're
I
trying,
am.
We're trying to slander.
Dude, that, what are you out here for? You white, you can't shoot, bro.
His name Dante. You know he can't shoot.
Man, get off the court. Get off the court. He that's what I'm going to call him. The white two guard, yo. That's who he is to me. White two guard. I'm not ever saying his name until he can consistently give me some buckets or something. He ain't even out there to play defense. He ain't fouling people. He ain't doing nothing. His stat sheets is 0-0-0. He might as well be PJ Tucker. He just out here.
He is shooting 40% from the field. Yuck.
And you know they not checking him. What they going to check him for?
Yeah. What Drew Holiday been doing, man? I need to.
Drew had a good game against the Pelicans. That's about it. I think he balled a little bit against the Lakers too, but yeah. It ain't. I mean,
he's doing what he do.
We got a superstar who we already seen has limitations. With a coach we already know has limitations. With a roster that is full of players who have limitations. I don't know. Maybe whatever. Like at some point, the Bucks were going to get caught by everybody else in the East because they haven't really improved their roster. And the players that they have haven't really improved. Like, who on the Bucks can we say has drastically improved their game in the last 2 years?
I mean, I'm nobody, but I will say that I think Drew Holiday's an upgrade from Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, but they need more than that.
Yeah, but I mean, but in the regular, I don't expect them to do nothing in the playoffs, but we talking about the regular season. Like, I thought that they would just still be good in the regular season. I didn't think they'd be 12-8.
I don't know, man. Maybe dudes just kind of in that mode where they can lunch until the playoffs. I mean, I don't know. But I know one thing. They better not mess around and be a 3-seed. They're going to hate life. They're going to be out of there early.
I don't know, man. That's what's bothering me. Like, Giannis, this is why you can't be loyal, bruh.
You can't. You really can't. And if you're going to be loyal, you better be the one calling the shots. And maybe he's not speaking the right language because the help they keep getting him, I'm just like, what the hell?
All I know, Drew Holiday wouldn't have done it for me.
No.
That wouldn't have got it. That wouldn't have been enough. That wouldn't have been enough to get me to
Bro, start. I was out when Middleton was his next best option. I was out after that. I'm not a fan of this Bama, man. How you a backcourt player can't dribble? What's your purpose?
I mean, still better than going to the Mavericks.
Oh no, for sure.
Watching Luka dribble.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's up with the Celtics? I mean, let's talk about
what's
it.
What's up with the Celtics?
Let's talk about it.
Well, Marcus Smart got hurt, man. They had COVID issues for sure. They had COVID issues for sure. So I'm gonna give them a slight pass. I don't think it's that they haven't been playing well. I just think they've had to go too deep into the rotation that they really honestly didn't want to do. Like at one point they didn't have no bigs, and then at another point Jaylen Brown was their only guard. Like
yeah, I remember that point. Yeah, where everyone was out for a couple games.
Yeah, so it's been kind of rough on them. So for them to still be at a 4-seed, I give them a slight pass. They got a week to get it together. They. Kind of in a trap situation tonight. I had the Warriors tonight. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna hold that against them.
All right, but we're gonna let them rock. But I see them at 500 though. I got some questions.
Yeah. I was gonna say when we come back, if these Bammers ain't above 500, we're gonna hey.
Don't let me see the Gordon Hayward led Hornets higher than them in the standings. That's all I'm saying.
I have built in Danny Ainge slander.
Slept for days.
Yeah, for him getting the Fultz and Tatum thing right, I'm still mad about that. So I have built in slander. I'm looking for a reason. So we will be back in 2 weeks. I do believe it's been 2 weeks, but we'll try to keep it around 1 to 2 weeks, and we'll have some more stuff for you guys. We'll maybe go a little bit more in depth on some of the woes, because I don't think the Mavericks are going to be winning in 2 weeks anyway, so we'll probably have a little bit more in-depth analysis on them, as well as the Bucks, another team I don't expect to be doing too much in 2 weeks either. Corey, you got anything you want to say before you go?
Nah, that's all. Apologize to Brody, bro.
Hey, I'm sorry, Russell Westbrook, that you are doing everything in your power to get Scott Brooks fired yet again. I'm sorry. I'm actually sorry that Scott Brooks put his faith in you to you know, keep him in a position to coach. Like, he didn't learn the first time. So, no. Yeah. There you go.
And we're not going to talk about Andrew Wiggins? We're not going to talk about – all right. Well, no, that's fine.
Bro, Wiggins and Oubre are not consistent enough to be talking about them, bro.
You're not going to put Wiggins in the Oubre category. That's what we're not going to do.
Hey, Oubre got more highlights.
No, he don't.
Yeah, he do. He got mad posters and missed shots and everything. What you talking about?
Missed shots ain't a highlight, Negro.
Have you seen him shoot? Them shits is highlights.
You're tripping.
He's been so bad this year. Bless his heart, man. He's still trying. What's Wiggins doing, bro? What's Wiggins doing? Because I'm half watching the game right now. What's Wiggins been doing that we missed?
I just would like to comment that Wiggins is shooting 48% from the field and 41% from three. The hell you want from him? And he's playing
16 a night.
He's playing all team NBA defense. What you want from him?
Like 16 a night?
Not 18.
Oh, 18. Okay, all right. That's 2 points better than I thought. All right, so he is
41% from three, 48 from the field, playing all NBA caliber defense. Like, it ain't on him.
So he like prime Harrison Barnes when he was with the
Warriors. Hell no, nah. Prime okay. Harrison Barnes could never. Talk to Draymond.
Hey, bro, we know what's up with Draymond, man. We know what's up with Draymond. He's got limitations, man. What more do you want from him?
Oh, Tristan and Draymond playing. I might have to watch this a little closer, see what's going on here.
They ain't saying nothing. I've been looking. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Draymond been keeping to himself.
I bet he has.
God, wait.
Because Tristan seemed like the type that'll pop off on TV.
Man.
And listen, any dude that's careless enough to cheat in the middle of Donna on a Kardashian is careless enough to swing on TV.
That's true. But all I'm saying is, if it don't matter who, man, if somebody smack you and they don't like knock you out from that, you gotta swing back. You gotta do something. You can't just be like, oh my bad. Like what? Just take the L. It's better to just fight and take an L than just to take the smack, man. He better be glad it's not on video.
Yeah, I can't. I've never been on the receiving end, so.
Man.
I've seen some people respond. I've never been on.
I've seen it too, but. I mean, I can imagine as much as I run my mouth, there's probably people out there that want to smack me. That's fine, but just know, like, we fighting, like, immediately. Immediately. Like, I'm not copping no apologies or nothing. We just. Spilling out into the parking lot and people saying, oh my God, and somebody call the police, all that good stuff. Like we not just gonna let this happen and people run around and the story be, yeah, he just smacked him and
they went their separate ways.
What? Not goon Draymond. I called him that after that too. I immediately took the goon off his name. Just called him Draymond.
Well, that's why I was confused about the fake tough guy spiel.
Rodney Magruder had been right next to him. He'd have been like, man, I understand Rodney, man. You know, Clay just talking. He don't mean it.
Nah, Draymond an opportunist, bro. He slapped that one Michigan dude in the club, the little Michigan wide receiver who was a buck 80. He didn't want no smoke with Tristan. He an opportunist, man. I see where he at with it.
God, that's so embarrassing, man. He dated a Kardashian, yo. Them people are supposed to be the people you pick on. What are we doing?
Wow.
Hey, no, you know what? Before we go, I do have a real question. Why are they doing Wiseman like this? He ain't played that. Oh, all right. I was about to say, he ain't played that bad, man.
Nah, he hurt.
Okay. All right, never mind then.
Yeah, nah, they ain't going to put Looney in over him, bro. All right.
Well, there was one game they put him in and brought Wiseman off the bench. That's why I was confused.
Yeah, he be getting like 13 minutes some game. I don't know what they be doing. He probably don't play no defense. I don't be watching that closely about him.
I'm sure
it's defense related. That's what it always is with rooks.
All right. I'm about to call racism on Kerr. Dude been acting real funny since our girl got a big time job and she won't be courtside no more. He been acting real funny.
I don't even think Kerr ever had a white dude on his team.
Other than Andrew Bogut, now that I think about it, he has to
come out of here. He got David Lee and Andrew Bogut out there real quick.
Real quick. That's funny, man. He need to get your boy from the Bucks and see if he can teach him how to shoot since he ain't doing nothing out there.
Kerr not playing that dude. Kerr not with that noise, man. Kerr straight up. He like, I couldn't play in the league today. They too athletic. I ain't with it. Give me some horses. Kerr not playing with that nonsense, bro.
Look at my man Curry trying to do what he can.
Look at Draymond. Look at your mans. Look at your mans.
Who? What?
You see Draymond?
Is that a foul right there? How is that a foul? He tripped over his own feet. Who is the second? Oh, all right, I see Andrew Wiggins. I was about to say, who is the second scoring option they got on the floor right now? It can't be Draymond.
This is, this is why you can't. Yeah, this is why, this is why they can't win more than a certain amount of games. This lineup right now is crazy.
I don't even know who two of these people are.
But yeah, that's the dude that Rodney Magruder ran down on, 95.
Oh my God, bro. I know Wiggins, Curry, and Draymond. These other two dudes, I don't know nothing about them, man.
That one dude's he on the team because he married to Steph Curry's sister.
Sister, okay. I thought that was that the dude with the weird last name.
Nah, that's Lee. He married to his sister. They got a lot of like intermarriage stuff going on in the league with him and the River. There's a lot of stuff going on. Too much.
Oh. All right. Well, I know Doc usually look out for his own. So
yeah. Oh, Wiggins! Y'all got to put some respect on that boy.
Oh, man. Yeah, he shook Tristan Thompson. All right, man, get off the show, man. We've been doing this too long, man. People going to be listening to this like, this is really what we're doing? Exactly, man. We're not boosting Wiggins and these fringe.
Nah, you're not going to do that. Fringe All-Stars? You must be fringe All-Stars.
Oh, man, yo. It's too late for this. I ain't messaging you. All right, bro.
All right.